Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast. I'm Gary Fox. This week is all about investing in yourself. That sounds quite wishy-washy, so what exactly do I mean? So last Saturday, I went to the Brian Keane seminar here in Dublin, all about your mindset. And a friend of mine, Dave, he suggested we go. He summons opinion I respect very highly, so I was delighted to say yes, because since I've started the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast, I've tried to do things I normally wouldn't do. And one of those things is to regularly invest in myself. When you're running your own business, the last thing you do is look after yourself and invest in yourself, the two things you should be doing most. That changes a lot as you go, but at the start, you definitely neglect yourself. So for this, it gives me good things to talk about as well. Exactly, case in point is this podcast. So to get back on track, I went to it. I had loosely heard of Brian Keane. I'd listened to a couple of his podcasts and I'd followed him on social. I'd followed his adventures in the Sahara and the Antarctic as well. So for anyone not familiar, he is a entrepreneur, fitness entrepreneur, like my last guest, James Murphy, and he's done a number of extreme challenges. And he focuses heavily on mindset and how we think. And his entire day was about mindset. So I was a little bit skeptical that it would sustain a whole day. I think if you told someone 5 years ago, definitely 10 years ago in Ireland, that you'd be going to an event all about mindset and you're going to spend an entire day thinking about it and talking about it, you would have been laughed out of the room. And it's refreshing that we now live in a time when we can do this. So anyway, long story short, the event was fantastic. He spoke from 10 to 1, a little break at lunch from 1 to 2, and then he spoke from 2 to 5. I genuinely don't know how he does that, how he has the energy to sustain and keep the momentum, keep his energy and keep people's focus. Like I've done talks about an hour. I think the longest I've done is about an hour. Actually, sorry, I lie. I used to do lectures that were an hour and a half. But obviously I'd break them up. I'd take breaks in the middle. And because to talk for 45 minutes in front of a group of people, so there's about 100 people there, I'd say, I guess. It's tough work. It is tough work. So look, it was a fantastic event. I'm going to run through some of the content that he talked about because I found it so useful. The seminar was €100 and I talked about it with my friend Dave afterwards. I easily would have paid €500 and still been happy with what I got out of it. It was a fantastic event for the money and I think I will definitely go to any of his future events. I'm going to run through roughly and very quickly. Obviously, he covered it in whatever, 7 or 8 hours. I'm going to cover it in probably the next 10 minutes. But I'm going to roughly talk about what he covered. So it's mindset. So it's all about getting yourself into the right mindset to achieve your goals. And for the Entrepreneur Experiment, this is exactly what I needed. So first of all, always keep the main question in mind. So is this helping with the end goal? What is your target? What do you want? That's the biggest thing he needs people to figure out when they're doing any things, and it's what we all need to figure out, is what do you want? You can't hit a target that you can't see. Very true, blindingly obvious, but so many of us go through months and weeks, working really hard, but on a vague, loose notion, instead of setting a very clear metric goal that at the end of the week, I want to have 100 sales calls, or I want to have 2 podcasts, or I want to have, setting really, really clear goals. That was his first message. And then keeping in mind all the time, is what I'm doing today helping me move towards my end goals? Just going to keep that in mind as we're talking through these things. So his main thesis is around setting up 4 quadrants in your life. So 4 areas in your life. His was health, family, work, and fulfillment. Covering out the 4 key areas in your life. You can set them up to be whatever you want. It's to be specific to you and how he would break that down. So there's 4 quadrants, 4 areas, and then breaks them down into 3 goals in each. So he reckons, and most research backs up, that more than 3 goals just becomes a bit diluted. It's better to have 3 big goals and to work towards them rather than having 10 goals. And you can set this up for whatever kind of time period you want, whether it's a month or a quarter or a half year or a year. So set 3 goals and say, what do you want to achieve? His big message throughout the day, and he kept repeating that, is what you focus on is what expands. So the goals that you focus on are the targets you set, and you keep focusing and refocusing and refocusing. Keep them front of mind. He is his on whiteboards all around his office. That's something I'm going to do. I'm going to print out my goals and put them up in front of me every single day. I travel a lot, so I'm not going to have them in my office because I work a lot from home. I also work a lot from coffee shops, and I work a lot from my office in Temple Bar. So I'm going to just keep them on my phone. What I'm going to do is I'm going to set them as a screensaver on my phone and just keep them in front of mind. I'm also going to put them at the front of my notebook that I carry with me everywhere. So three main goals, and then you break that down into step two is, what do I need to do to achieve those goals? So goal one, let's just say it's to run a 5K. Pick whatever you want. It's to run a 5K. Okay, that's goal one. That's your overall goal. At the end of 3 months, I want to run a 5K. So goal one might be to run 3 times per week. Run 2 kilometers 3 times per week. And it's all about sustainability. So it's not like saying, okay, goal one is run 5K. And that's it. Because if you set that goal, well, where do you start? How do you know that you're getting closer to it? Running 5K to someone who's never run, it may as well be run 500K. To most of us, that wouldn't be a big deal. But to someone who doesn't run, I'm just using running as an example. Run, use whatever you want. Go to the gym 4 times a week, whatever it is. So set your overall goal. And then goal, the second step of the whole process is to set your steps that you're going to do every single week to achieve that. And then at the end of every week, you review what you've done. So try to get as metric as you can on it. So for example, his was to, I think it was to keep below 10% body fat and to be well. So his was to go to the gym 4 times per week. So his overall goal was to be fit. His sub goal to achieve that was to go to the gym 4 times per week. So one feeds the other. So you create systems to compensate for your willpower. So I've read this so many times in all the books I've read about habits and willpower and working. Your willpower will wane. You only have so much of it over the course of a day, a week, a month. So you have to get rid of the decision fatigue about, we've all been there whereby, oh, I must go to the gym today. And then it gets to like 7 o'clock in the evening. You've had a shit day at work. You have a million things to do. You got to walk the dog. You got to be in bed by 10. Oh, do you know what? I'll go tomorrow. And you just skip through it. Removing that decision fatigue. So having your plan already set out in place that, you know, bite-sized chunks every single day. Okay, got to go to gym 4 times this week. I'm going to go Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. That's it. And don't deviate from that. So create systems. One of the things I asked at the very end, and I'll skip to it now because it's quite relevant to this section. I asked him at the end, how does he keep... Oh, sorry, I'm just flicking my notes here. So if that is what the sound you'll hear. I asked him is, how do you hold yourself accountable externally? Because it's quite easy to fool yourself. You're the easiest person in the world to fool. So he explained it further, going, you set out these systems, then you grade yourself at the end of every week. So you just set a point for each one, end of every week, then 3 points per day or 3 points per week, whatever it is, just numerically add it up, and you'll very easily see where you're going right or where you're going wrong. He also said, in the area that you're weakest in, consider getting a coach. So let's just say a very easy one would be fitness. If you struggle to maintain your willpower there, go get a coach, get someone who's externally accountable to every single week, so that if you're not doing it, you're letting him down, you're wasting your money. So I thought that was really good advice. And step three then is the analysis. So reviewing each week what you've actually done. So I've started this already. I'll explain this further towards the end. I've broken down my day and my week into goals. So I'm going to do a long podcast on this probably at the end of next month when I've done it for a month, because there's no point talking about after doing it for a week. So I'll share it probably on the website. I'll share kind of the structure, and I'll share the goals, and I'll share what's worked and what hasn't, and we can kind of tweak that, and I'll share it. So then he focused on doing things that you want to. So do things on what you have to do, not on how you feel at the time. So again, creating the systems so that you're not kind of going, oh, should I go to the gym today? Should I not go to the gym today? Should I write today? Should I not write today? Create the system so that it's just already in place. So it'll override that feeling of, should I, shouldn't I? Oh, I can go tomorrow. Oh, I'll set the alarm for later. I'll go. Set systems in place so you don't even have to think about it. It's just autopilot. Set autopilot in a good way. A lot of the stuff we talked about is habits, and we're on autopilot. So much during the day, you're on autopilot. You're just going through about your day. You're not even thinking about it. He's like, good habits should be part of that as well. We have so many bad habits on autopilot that you can train yourself that you actually put your good habits on autopilot as well. Then he talked about probably the biggest thing that holds most people back, and that's overcoming self-doubt. He has a little acronym called WIN, What's Important Now. The thing I loved about this and about Brian's content and about his approach is that it's so broken down into everyday steps. Mindset can be one of those things that can be a little bit hard to get your head around, ironically, but it can be very much wishy-washy and, you know, very much kind of thoughts and theory and, you know, in an ideal world. And but his was all about breaking it down to the very simplest points every single day, every single week. So WIN, his thing for overcoming self-doubt is WIN. What's important now? What can I do today that'll move myself forward towards the larger goal? Again, it comes back to setting very, very, very clear goals and then just having systems in place. You just tick them off as you go. I'm very much task-orientated, goal-orientated, so I think that's why a lot of this spoke to me so clearly. I'm either all on or all off. So I think this is why creating systems like this will just help me just streamline that whole process. And the next thing was, to get what you want, you have to deserve what you want. So you have to work towards what you're actually doing. You can't just... He talked about that book, The Secret, about the thoughts and theories behind it. And you can't just like go, I'd love a Lamborghini, and then just sit on your arse at home waiting for the Lamborghini to arrive. You have to work. You have to deserve the goals you want. So whatever goals you're setting, whether it's to get incredibly fit, it's to, you know, write a best-selling book, it's to get a new job, whatever it is, you can't just sit there wishing for it. You have to break that down to the very core components and just tiny little steps every day. I have a little thing written on one of my notebooks to remind myself, and it's 1% better every day, because otherwise goals can be huge and it just gets very, very difficult to achieve. So set an environment up to let good things happen. And that's what his whole seminar was about, is about breaking down your goals in the simplest form and setting up that environment so that it's almost second nature. It'll take probably 3 to 4 weeks, I think, to set any of these up. So you have to just do it day after day after day after day. And then you'll get earned confidence. So as you go through and as you're ticking these little things off, it's much easier to run at a kilometer a day rather than saying, you know what, I'm going to run 5K every single day, because that's pretty hard if you've never done it before. So even running a kilometer a day, then you'll see that'll soon be too easy. So you can run 2 kilometers a day, then 3. You see what I mean? It just builds itself. So earned confidence, that'll overcome your self-doubt as well in terms of, oh, can I do this? You know, am I going to be able to do this? And then we all have that little voice in our head going, do you know what? It's actually okay to kind of step back and just not do it. And then he talked about your time. So a lot of the people that come to him for coaching say they don't have time. And his answer is, it's not a priority. You have time, but it's not a priority. So no matter what you want to do, there's always time. He talked about when he was training, I think it was 7 or 8 marathons in the Sahara that he did back to back. Marathon de Sable, I think they're called. So you can look that up. It's a crazy thing. So it's basically back to back marathons every single day through the Sahara. So he needed to clock in a huge amount of running time to be able to fit to do that. So he has a daughter, he's a very successful business, he's a podcast, he has speaking events, huge amount of commitments, family commitments, friend commitments. He's like, I can't let this consume my life. So what he would do is he'd just get up 2 to 3 hours earlier. He might be up at 4:30, 5:00, 5:30. That sounds crazy to some people, but if you want to do a crazy goal, you're going to have to make compensations either way. So you either train later at night or you train at lunchtime. But his was, he would get up early, get up at 5, and he might do 10 miles before the day even begun. So that's how he built it in. So time is the only resource you can't get more of. So work with what you have. When you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. That was a really interesting one. And he harbored on that point, is the fact that he says no to a huge amount of things. And I think that's something I definitely have got better at as well, is just not going things for the sake of going things. His point was either go wholeheartedly or don't go at all. So it's either a hard yes or a hard no. I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but this is so Irish. He put up a slide called, yeah, it's okay syndrome, or yeah, it's grand syndrome. So, you know, how is that thing? Oh yeah, it was grand, but then it wasn't worth doing. It's either a hard yes or a hard no. Don't be living in the grand. And this brought me something on. It's funny when you start hearing one thing, you keep hearing it. So I was listening to an interview with Aubrey Marcus and Joe Rogan, and they were talking about living your life of ones and tens. He's like, I think Aubrey Marcus was talking about, he'd rather have the lows of having a couple of days of ones, whereby things don't go your way, and have, you know, tens at the other side where everything goes your way, rather than living a life of sixes where everything is just fine. I love that kind of comparison, whereby you're staying in the safe zone of sixes. You live a life of sixes. So I'm just keeping that in front of my mind. Ones and tens and sixes. Which would you rather be doing? So that was the it's okay syndrome. Avoiding that at all cost. And the compound effect of something he spoke at length. And that's something I've seen covered in a lot of books about habit and high performers. It's things you do every single day compound. Whether that's a good thing or that's a bad thing. It compounds over. He gave the example of a can of Coke over, you know, one can of Coke a day for a week. No real big deal. It's whatever it is, 200 calories, whatever that is. He goes, one can of Coke every day over a year, very big deal. It compounds. So he's talking about just keeping good habits. Again, he kept focusing back on what you focus on is what you expand. So if you're focusing on good things every day, good habits, that's what will keep expanding in your life and start bleeding into other areas. He then talked about managing fear. He said, imagine your worst case scenario. So picture whatever it is. Let's say you want to do a marathon. You want to do a Dublin marathon in October. Worst case scenario. Okay, the worst case scenario is, okay, you don't finish it. You're halfway along. You blow up. You don't get injured. Whatever. That's your worst case scenario. Not that bad, really. He's talking about anchoring a time when you beat fear. So go back to a time when you, let's say it was your first run. I just keep using running as an example because it's very straightforward. Your first run, you couldn't run a kilometer. Then the second day you could. That was when you beat fear. So anchor back to that time. Also use distraction techniques. So focus on something else for a long period of time. Before he was going to do all the marathons, he would focus on watching box sets back to back to just get your mind out of it. Don't let fear expand. So fear will expand inside your brain. The more space you give it, the fear will expand. And he's like, be willing to pay the price. And that's what he talked about earlier. I just covered it earlier as well. Deserve what you want. So you have to be willing to put in the absolute hard slog to get exactly what you want. I literally was watching videos. A friend of mine sent me a link to the Wim to Warrior videos, which were just put up today. And I trained with a lot of those lads. And it was cool to see them fighting right at the end because they had worked so hard. And that's a perfect example of something that people working so hard to achieve something at the end, because they all deserve to step in there at the end. So you build yourself confidence around doing good things every day. Set your pillars, set your key goals, and set your pillars around those goals and just work towards it. Use failure as feedback. So obviously not everything is going to go right. He talked about he went out to Barcelona to do an Ultraman. He got lost. His legs blew up. Just couldn't handle it. He just was ill-prepared. He used that then as feedback for his next race. So keep using failure as feedback. Don't just be afraid of it, or don't just ignore it. Use it as feedback. And a brilliant one he talked about was social media. He touched a little bit on it. Comparison is a thief of joy. There's a quote from Theodore Roosevelt. I think that's something we can all identify with. There's a huge backlash against social media at the minute. But I think it's just making people think about how they spend their time. So comparison is a thief of joy. So when you're comparing yourself to other people all the time, it's never, rarely is it going to make you feel good, because someone's at a different stage of their journey. You're comparing your chapter 1 with their chapter 10. You're comparing your day 1 with their day 2,000, 3,000, 10,000, because no one's at the same point and no one's often working towards the same thing. So his solution to that was obviously less social media, but also comparing yourself against yourself. That's the only person you should be setting the barometer against. Because it's too easy just to go on social media and just scroll and look at all these fantastic people doing very cool things. It's only a snapshot of their life, but you think that that's what their life is like all the time, and you anchor around that. You can compensate by that by just comparing yourself against yourself. Am I better than I was yesterday, last week, last month, last year? And that's what the little tiny habits come back to. If you're doing those tiny habits every day, they'll seem like nothing, but then as you compound it over the month, it'll seem like it will be a huge thing. His last thing, and what he kind of came up against, his leaving message was two things. One was to cut negative people out of your life, which is very valuable advice. You're the sum of the five people. Tim Ferriss talks about this extensively. I think I've talked about it already in the podcast. You're the sum of the five people that you hang around with. If you're spending your time with negative people, that's going to bleed into your outlook. That's going to bleed into your way of doing things. He, again, Brian Keane talked about, he did a year of, a month, sorry, of no complaining. And what he would do is he'd wear a bracelet and it said no complaining on it. It would just remind him not to complain for a month. And it just said it showed him exactly how much Irish people complain, but also how much we complain in general. And it's almost a default mechanism sometimes. We just go through and we just, oh, shite weather today. You know, whatever it is, it's almost conversation sometimes in Ireland. But it's just avoid people who are constantly negative. Everyone can have a bad day, no big deal there. But we all know people in life who are just, if they won the lotto this week and it was a million, they'd be sad that it wasn't 3 million because that's what it was last week. You know, those kind of people, he's like, he just cuts them out of his life now. He just spends less and less and less time with them because positive people attract positive people. So that was his one of his main key takeaways, was remove negative people from your life. The other one was a really cool idea. It was called the 97-year-old rule. So when you're making decisions, what would your 97-year-old self do if they could be back now? If they knew what they knew now, when they're 97, looking back to your life today, whatever you are, whatever age you are, what decision would they make for you? Would they go for it? Probably. But would it be a hard yes or a hard no? He's like, try keep that at the front of your mind all the time. Comes back, he talked again about time being non-renewable. You only get so much time. So it was a really good rule to keep in your mind. Now, some of the stuff, you have to work on it. All of it you have to work on. So that's why I think the daily tasks are so good. So just to recap, you create your four quadrants, life, whatever you want to do it, say family, fitness, work, creative slash fulfillment, whatever you want to do, whatever hobbies you have, whatever it is. Set your systems in place, set your three tasks underneath for how am I going to get one step closer to it every single day. Set your systems. If you're weak in one area, get a coach to help you or get someone to hold you accountable. He also said, have your inner circle hold you accountable, which is a very good idea. Tell your friends exactly what you're doing and just get them to call you on it if you're not doing it. And that was kind of it. I've summarized a huge amount of stuff there in a very, very short space of time. I bought his book, The Fitness Mindset, at the conference. It was really good. A lot of good, useful information on it. So if you haven't been to one of his seminars, I would advise picking up the book, The Fitness Mindset. I'll link it in the show notes. I bought it and actually burned through reading it in about 2 days. It's a good, easy read. Huge amount of valuable information in it. So that's it. That's this week's Entrepreneur Experiment podcast. Just to bring you up to speed briefly on the whole Entrepreneur Experiment project, it's much slower than I thought. I had broken it down to very simplistic terms of each section is going to be a month and we're going to phase through each month and it's going to be very clean. Obviously, setting up a podcast, YouTube, everything. I've talked about this already. It took far longer than expected. So we're still in idea generation phase, which is kind of exciting at the same time. So I'm going to do a blog post on Friday. This is Thursday, tomorrow morning. There'll be a blog post up about where I look for ideas and how I'm trying to find business ideas. It's kind of an interesting one. I talk about a lot of the media that I don't consume anymore and where I do consume stuff and how I consume stuff. It's changed a huge amount. That will be up tomorrow. I would advise checking that out. It's very useful if you are trying to come up with a business idea. If you are trying to come up with a business idea, solve a problem, whether it's your own or one that you know exists for someone else, whether it's in your work or whatever it is, simply solve a problem. Don't get too meta about the whole thing. And that is it. That is the episode 10 done. I hope you enjoyed it. As I said, next week we've Carl O'Brien from Effector Social Media Agency. He's an absolute genius. He started his business when he was, I think, 13 or 14, and he's now only 23, and he's running a company of 8 people. So he is an absolute whirlwind. Really look forward to or listening to that back. I'm actually going to go edit it tomorrow. That will be up next Thursday at 6 a.m., and I will see you then.